Welcome to the Legacy and Faith Show, featuring estate and tax attorney Paul Grant. The Legacy and Faith Show is about the journey of discovering how to create plans that protect wealth and family values for generations. And now the host of the Legacy and Faith Show, Paul Grant.
Along with co-host Mark Holland, it's another edition of the Legacy and Faith Show with Paul Grant. Hi there, Paul.
Hi, Mark.
Hey, continuing our discussion this week on the provocatively titled empty chair scenario.
Yeah.
We all will face someday in our life, and you have some real unique ideas on how to help with that empty chair problem or just reality. But it can present some real problems for people, for families. We want to kind of get into that aspect of it.
That's right.
Again, tell us, what is the empty chair?
Yeah, the empty chair is the thought process that I perform certain functions in my marriage. And every marriage finds this rhythm. And it's very unusual that both spouses take responsibility for all tasks. We tend to find in a relationship that there's a strength in one partner, so they take over the finances. Another person, my wife is a phenomenal cook. I can make pancakes. And so, you know, you don't want me to try to be doing the cooking in my home. And so, because Costco and frozen meals are my answer.
Right.
So she's a phenomenal cook. She always has been. It's just a gift of hers. So my wife does the cooking in our family, not because it's the traditional look and she's the female and has to do all the cooking. No, that's nonsense. It's just that that's her gifting. It's my profession to manage finances and to help people strategize with taxes and estate planning. So yeah, I think I know something. It's kind of my leaning to deal with finances. So my wife and I have very traditional roles of where our relationship has found us. Well, if something ever happened to me, whether it was I became disabled, I had a health incident, I developed memory issues, and I can't now perform the role that 30 plus years and 40 years, 50 years, 60-year marriages, mm-hmm. right? There's roles that you perform. What if that person can't do it because they're struggling with their health or they die? So the empty chair is that they were performing a skill set because that's what they did naturally. And the other spouse oftentimes says, yes, that's good. I'll do something different in our relationship. You take care of that. But if they're gone or they need help, that role now falls to the partner. It falls to the other spouse. Mm. Now that person is doing all of the duties, some of which they've never done in their lifetime because it was the other spouse's skill set. And now they're also being a caretaker. Mm. So the empty chair is the person is no longer there. And what does that mean? I've watched over and over that one spouse dies and the other spouse who's never done the cooking in their life has a very difficult time in transitioning with healthy meals and finding out what
to
do.
That would really throw them for a loop.
Yes, yeah. It does. If you've never done it, and other of you are going, well, that's stupid that they can't turn on the stove and find an egg.
Right.
Okay, fine. I understand that perspective. Or others of you out there may be going, but what do you mean they can't write a check and pay a bill? Well, if you've never done it because someone else has always done it for you, do you even know where your assets are? Do you know how much of a problem it is that you keep finding assets after someone dies, after your spouse dies, and they manage the finances? I have many, many couples come to my office, and it is very clear who manages the finances. Mm. And I have many spouses, and it could be a male or a female. It doesn't matter. This isn't an issue of what sex you are. This is somebody manages because that's their skill set. And I have many, many spouses look at me and say, if anything happens to my spouse who manages, I'm in trouble. And the answer is, well, it's okay. I've got you. Because our system is more detailed than what I believe other systems are. And so You were telling me I was kind of dancing around the topic last
week.
Yeah,
it sounded like you're just telling people they need to have like this giant team of professionals around them. And I was thinking, well, who's going to do that? Who's going to have a retainer in every department? But you're saying actually in your system, you kind of are that.
Yeah.
And if people sign up for your approach to this, you are the person that takes care of things.
Yeah, I have all the information. Yeah. So every year I send out an asset review of here are all of your accounts. Do I have it right? Do I know the values? Are they aligned with your plan? So are they integrated into your trust properly? Now, why do I want to do that? Well, for many reasons. I want to make sure that we know where everything is, because if I lost the spouse that does all the finances, and we create that empty chair in the financial task, the other spouse really struggles, and it's a huge insecurity.
Yeah.
You got to trust me on this. Yeah. I watch this all the time in my practice. Mm. And when the one who manages the finances dies, it leaves the other spouse in a huge place of insecurity of I don't even know where things are. Well, in my system, what would it look like if I say, but I do? You guys, over the years, your spouse has been filling out our forms, and I know where all of your assets are. We are going to help you.
Wow.
And if you have a financial advisor, we're going to work with them. Why is it important to have a financial advisor? So that
which you are not. You are not.
I am not a financial advisor, so I do not invest money.
So if there's one other person to get in the mix, it's a financial advisor.
Sure. Mm-hmm. And then the three-pegged stool is then a good CPA, because if you have any type of complication with your taxes, if you have a rental, if you have a business, and you have more than just standard income from investments and a pension or retirement, then your taxes tend to be a little more complicated. And so so between those three professionals, an estate planner, a financial advisor, a CPA, that's a really strong team. But if someone is missing one of those, then I also have a bunch of professional relationships that I can get you to the right person. But what would it look like for a surviving spouse when they've never done the finances to come to my office when they're in the grieving process to say, it's okay, I know where everything is. I've got you. I can walk you through this process of getting everything realigned in your estate plan. Because when someone dies, there's always work in the estate plan. You have to realign it because someone passed away. We got to make sure that the advantages of a trust is that there's tax advantages, but you have to do work to take advantage of those tax issues. Mm. They just don't happen automatically. So there's always work, and we're in a great position to be able to assist a client through that process and give them a ton of emotional security that now that they have a gap in that empty chair, it's not a problem because I can help them and realign it. Now, I'm not going to do their finances. Well, I mean, I could. But you don't want to pay me to do your bookkeeping. But there's going to be some other people that we can bring in to assist if that gap is really big. Again, I'm just using finances as an example. There's other places that we can help. There's other professionals that would come in and actually help somebody with light housekeeping or light cooking or help you with your medications if it was ever necessary because you are more dependent on your spouse for those areas of your life. So so the empty chair discussion is, what do you do that your spouse doesn't? And if you're single, you do it all.
Yeah.
And who is going to come in and know all the different things? When a single person passes away, it is even that much more complicated because we got to get the mail. It takes us several months of the mail cycle to find out what exactly someone owns and what their bills are. What would it look like if we didn't have to wait those several months just to collect the mail and find out what was in an estate?
Yeah.
So that's the proposition, is that by using a robust system, a robust program like what we have at Planning with Purpose, it changes the preparation level of the estate so that we can be the stopgap, so that we have the information to feed to the family, bring them a lot of security, and actually it cuts down on the work when these transitions have to happen.
So if you have an empty chair scenario that comes up, another aspect of this obviously is the personal representative, the executor who is mentioned in the trust or the will. But that person a lot of times isn't totally up to speed either.
Oh, yeah. They? Oh, they're rarely up to speed.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
So we have educational opportunities that we provide our clients on an annual basis. We offer training programs to help the successor trustee to understand if something had to go to probate. So we educate before the incident, and we try to give this information out. As a matter of fact, most of those videos, even if you're not a client, most of those videos are on my website. So head over to legacyandfaith.com. There's links back to the educational information. So those are available to everyone and anyone. They're not a hidden gem. I want that information out. So that's available. But so, yes, there's a lack of preparation for most estates. And I believe that our system does a better job than just creating the legal document. See, the legal document is going to empower somebody. But the question is, there's a practical side to all this. Just because you have power doesn't mean you know what you're doing. And so our firm is really positioned, and it's one of our highest goals to educate people to fill in that gap. And then when the incident happens, we have as much information on our clients as possible. It's up to date because we're in a relationship with clients. It's not 5, 10, 15, 20 years old, and we're not starting from scratch.
Now, maybe a lot of families were very dependent on that person that is now gone, that empty chair scenario, not just the immediate family, maybe a blended family.
Oh, yeah.
That presents a whole nother scenario.
It sure does.
Maybe get into that a little bit here before we take a break.
Yeah. The blended family, I talk about two big deals in estate planning that if you are in a blended family, you need really good estate planning. It is a – I don't care how long you've been in a blended family. When the first spouse in a blended family dies – and you don't have common children. So in the scenario, whether it was divorce, whether it was death, you've now you have his and her children, and you're bringing in a true blended family. When the first one passes away, and now let's assume that the kids are all adults, almost regardless of how good that relationship is at the time of the death, there appears to be, at least the ones that I've dealt with, insecurity by the children of the one who died because it's not their mom that they're dealing with. It's now dad's second wife. And it's amazing at how these human issues rise up in grieving process, and some of the insecurities arise in this process. So specifically, if the relationship with the other kids has not been really strong, then it's a real big setup of you're taking everything that should be ours, or we want something right now from because dad died or because mom died. So, so when blended families exist, you need a good estate planning. You got to get in-depth estate planning. I don't know how to better put it other than you guys are in a setup, and I don't care what you think about your relationship of we are one harmonious family, just wait until someone dies. I've seen it over and over and over, and blended families are one of the biggest dangers in estate planning. I mean, if you don't have estate planning, it could really, really cause some difficulties in the relationship moving forward for that surviving spouse and for the deceased parents' children. So, yeah, blended family. We'll talk more about it after break.
the realities behind the empty chair, some of the scenarios that come up because of that. We will discuss this a little bit more as we continue in just a moment. People are intrigued by your approach to this subject, Paul. They want to find out more about your services. How do they do that?
Yeah, our website, legacyandfaith.com. I mentioned that there's educational opportunities and things that would connect you to some of the things we've talked about in today's show. Ways to communicate with us, opportunities to get appointments, and it's all found at legacyandfaith.com.
Okay, back with more of the Legacy and Faith Show with Paul Grant in just a moment.
Hi, this is Paul Grant with the Legacy and Faith Show. Did you know that more than 75% of people that are 65 and older will at some point in their lifetime need some type of assistance due to a health incident? I want you to join me on Saturday, September 28th at 5 p.m. for a discussion about how to make sure that you are financially, legally, and practically ready to meet those challenges. The National Alzheimer's Association, in-care home specialists, financial experts, and myself will be discussing how to properly prepare you and your finances. This event is designed to provide the clarity and guidance you need for the peace of mind you desire. So join me on Saturday, September 28th at 5 p.m. at the South Bellevue Community Center for this critical discussion. You can find out more about this free event and how to register at legacyandfaith.com.
We now return to the Legacy and Faith Show, featuring estate and tax attorney Paul Grant, and continue today's practical discussion to apply biblical principles for kingdom purposes.
And a very practical discussion this week. How do we deal with that empty chair when one part of the family is gone or incapacitated, and some of the realities of these relationships that we have to deal with, and having a plan in place? And just before the break, we were talking about how it affects families, and specifically blended families, Paul.
Yeah, even in second marriages, your relationship gets into specific giftings and roles. And so oftentimes in blended families, the finances oftentimes stay a little more separated than a long-term relationship. So if that is the case, then both of the spouses have the skill set to manage their own money. But then what happens when one of them is ill? What if they have a health incident? Who's the next person that manages? So you've kept your money separated all this time. Even after 20 years, blended families will often walk into the office and they'll still have their assets separated. Some of them have said, nope, we're going to blend them. It's what we believe. We're in this as a committed long-term union, and so we're going to bring it all together. Fine, whichever way it goes, there are oftentimes more adult children from one side of the family or the other. And now, who is going to manage or assist in managing the one who is having the health problem? So if you have separated finances, do you then give all the authority to your spouse? Well, I think out of almost fear of what would my spouse say if I didn't give them control? It's like I don't trust them or something. That's the most common thing that happens. But there's opportunities to say, but I think bringing in one of the adult kids who is financially responsible and doing a partnership of the spouse plus one of the kids, or making sure that there's language that says that the spouse who is now caretaking over the other one needs to keep the other family members informed. I really don't like partnerships when dealing with money. Having two trustees, if you have two kids, naming both your kids and having them manage the money together, it causes problems. I mean, they're different people. And I know that they're best friends. The number of times I hear this, oh, they're marvelous together. Great. Until one of them is the one who's always visiting, until the one of them is doing all the finances and the other one is doing nothing, and the discord starts because it's a longer time problem. So finding the one person is typically what I encourage people to think about, not doing partnerships. Now, I'll do whatever my client requests. So, yes, I have some clients who said, nope, we want both the kids, or I want Because it's a blended family, I want one of my children working with my spouse, and there's a partnership there. Fine, it's not a problem. But the question is, have you thought through it? What if you die? How do we split that estate to protect the second spouse? But yet, do we want to get something to the kids right away? There's feelings of discord when there's this empty chair and the role is no longer filled. And in blended families, there is a greater tendency, so my experience has seen, for the children of the incapacitated or the one who died to begin to develop feelings of distrust towards the now, instead of it being mom or dad, it's all of a sudden the stepmom or the stepdad. So it's unfortunately played out many times. I've had to be in court over this multiple times. Mm. And so good planning, asking the right questions will help resolve some of these things so that the documents and the legal structure anticipate all of these different moving parts in a blended family. And again, all I can do is look at documents that come to me from other people, and I don't see the depth of care and the depth of questions that I believe need to be asked in blended families. Mm-hmm. So when you have an empty chair, whether by health incident or by death, a blended family, like you said, it's wrought with problems, and oh boy, is it ever. Yeah. So it really is one of the biggest issues that it is a group that needs to do estate planning. It is of the highest urgency that if you have a blended family that you get in and do your estate planning properly. It is the highest urgency.
What if there is a business involved with things?
Yeah, now you've hit both of the two big wild cards. I mean, the biggest red flags, and when people need to consider estate planning more than immediately, not just wait and see, is if there's a blended family and if you own a business. Your business many times depends solely upon you. And it's even more important to have that long-term relationship to make sure that that your business needs are well taken care of. So who is internally able to manage your business? Do you have someone? Do you have the employees? Are they ready? What happens if we had to turn the business over to somebody else to run it? Do we need to sell it? Do we need to try to keep the income source moving for the family or for your spouse? What if you have a special needs child that is dependent upon that income? Mm. What does it mean if we had to sell the business? So do you have an exit strategy, or are you so busy working on the business, working in the business? So working in the business is your daily routine. I got to keep this machine moving forward. I got to administrate people. I got to do the bookkeeping. I got to do all these things. Working on your business is, what's my vision and what's my plan? What is my future? How do I grow my business? And how do I exit my business? Mm. How do I create a plan that blends with my estate plan that if something happened to me, do I have proper insurances? Do I have life insurance? Do I have disability insurance? Do I have the exit strategy blended with the plan, with my estate plan, or am I just making it up as I go along? And is there really nothing there? Mm. So business owners have double duty. They need to think about their estate, what happens to have all the legal structure around their estate needs and their finances, the empty chair that we've been talking about. Do they have the right people in place? Do we have the proper legal authority? Do we have the practical things? But then you got a whole second child that you have to deal with, and that child is your business. Mm. And you've given your lifeblood, your blood, sweat, and tears to this. And now all of a sudden, a health incident wipes your business out. All of a sudden, a health incident, because you weren't prepared, because you didn't talk about this and you didn't get it blended with your estate plan. You have no exit strategy. You have no plan internally. Business owners have double duty. We got to think about your family, and we got to think about the business and whether or not all of these things are prepared for you to stand up and leave your seat empty.
Yeah, so many people do have home-based businesses now or are self-employed.
Yes.
So it's a real common scenario.
Yeah, definitely. And so, look, all of this can be resolved. This isn't intended to be a fear factor. It's not intended to be anything but motivation. Mm. It's motivation to say, if you haven't accomplished this, then, and specifically if you're in one of these two last people groups of being a blended family or being a business owner, boy, now is the time. I know life is busy. I get it. And I know that nobody likes to pay me to do what we're talking about. But so I understand those factors. But it is time to really give high consideration to your estate plan. You need to have a good estate plan because it's not an if, it's when. When you need to stand up and leave the tasks that you do in your marriage, or if you run it all because you're single, is your plan ready? Do you have the correct legal documents in place? Do you have your trust in place? Do you have your financial power of attorney, your healthcare power of attorneys, your end-of-life documents? Does someone know where all your finances are? And are they prepared practically and legally? If you're a blended family, what does it look like to make sure that there is a solid plan so that everyone is secure, even when one of you becomes incapacitated or dies, so that the family can feel secure that the other person is not going to steal it all? Mm. And that's a big reality. And then business owners, boy, I know. Again, I just said it. You got double duty. It's more work for you, and you already know it, which is also why we don't do it as business owners. Mm. But we got to have an exit strategy. We got to think through these things. We got to get it all integrated together so that we can be successful. It's worse to have the empty chair with no plan at all. That's my encouragement.
How to plan for that inevitable empty chair that you will face. And you like the way Paul talks about this subject and has a wonderful system to help you address these issues. How do people get in touch with you, Paul?
Head over to our website, legacyandfaith.com. There's past podcasts, upcoming educational opportunities, and ways to communicate with us. And it's all found at legacyandfaith.com.
It's the Legacy and Faith Show with Paul Grant.
Thank you for joining us for the Legacy and Faith Show. You can find more information about the show and Paul Grant at legacyandfaith.com. Join us next week at the same time as we learn to build God's kingdom and continue our journey on how to protect wealth and family values for generations. All discussions on the Legacy and Faith Show are intended to be about general legal issues. If a situation applies to you, then we encourage you to seek specific legal advice. Please do not rely upon any discussions from this program in place of having a personal relationship with your attorney. Any listener question that may have been answered also does not constitute legal advice and does not establish a client-attorney relationship.